Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Signs of the Times by Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
Okay, I came from a jacked up family, jacked up background, okay? And if it wasn't for Jesus, these streets would have got me, okay? And so some of you would have been okay, but others of us, and I'm saying us, others of us, we needed the church.
Amen. Amen.
Some of us, and some of you watching me, you are no good outside of the church. Your flesh acts up. You just missing a couple of services. You cussing like you never knew Jesus. Okay? I see people, they lying to me, tell me they ain't drinking. I grew up around drinkers. I know when people drinking. Sorry, honey. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can tell me you ain't getting high. I can look at high. I see high. I grew up it was all in my house. My mother, my father, sister, brother, all in the community. I know when folks drinking. I know when folks getting high. And again, Mother Bailey in my ear, it comes from the scripture. And some of you're like the dog. You've gone back to your vomit. That's what the Bible says. When you go back to what God delivered you from, it says like a dog going back and eating his vomit. Anybody had a dog know what I'm talking about? A dog will throw up, and then if you don't catch it real quick, it'll go and lap it up. And that's what the Bible compares it to when God has delivered you from that life, from that debaucherous life. That's my word, debaucherous life. I don't know if it's a word. Debauchery is a word, but you just put it all together. It's a debaucherous life. When God's delivered you from that lifestyle, and then you go back and start doing the same stuff you were doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago that God delivered you out of, you're a dog going back to your vomit.
Wow.
And David said, I almost went back to my vomit.
My goodness.
David says, Psalm 73:2, as for me, my feet were almost gone. Almost lost my way. Almost lost my feet, my footing. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And in between verse 3 and verse 12, he says, look like they don't have any troubles. Look like they're happy all the time. Look like their family's doing better. Look like they got more money than I do. It look like I'm coming to church and in vain. I'm serving God in vain. I'm sacrificing in vain. I'm fasting in vain. I'm trying to live holy in vain. He got messed up when he was comparing himself to ungodly people. And then he says, verse 12, but these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Y'all see that? You can prosper, but it not be God's way. These are those who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. I keep telling y'all, that's why godliness, the Bible said in the last days, people are going to be saying godliness is gain. Just because you got more money, that makes you godly. No, you can be wicked and increase in riches. All increase is not godly increase. They increase in riches. Verse 13, he says, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain. I washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. He said, but now watch, he's thinking this. He's thinking this. But David even caught himself that he did not seal his thoughts with his mouth. Because when you speak something, it seals the thought. That's why the Bible tells us, I was teaching last Sunday in Matthew 6, take no thought saying. When you say, now you've taken the thought. The thought can fly out of your head, but when you say it, you seal it. You grab it and start giving life to it, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. So he's, notice he says here, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. You know what he's saying here? He said, I had to catch myself because I realized if I start talking this way, I'm not just messing up my life, I'm messing up my children's life. Verse 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful to me. And I kept looking at this. But verse 17 says, here's what I'm getting to. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. When I got among the saints, when I went into the house of God, God gave me more revelation, more understanding that they may look like things are going well on the outside, but the end is not going to be the best. And better is the end of a thing than the beginning of a thing. He said, God has those people on a slippery slope. That's when he got revelation of understanding that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. He said, but long as, see, and many times, y'all, being around the saints, being around Christians, being in a wholesome environment where we're hearing the word, being taught the word, exhorting one another, it helps us to keep a biblical worldview. And not a worldly worldview. It helps us to see things through the lens of God's word versus just looking at the surface and looking like they're better off than you. Somebody said to me one time, they said, I don't understand. It seems like I know these people. I know they didn't do this and that. And look like that they were doing better than me. You don't know. I keep telling you, don't get fooled by Instagram. And they did not wake up like that. Beyonce lied too. Okay? Think everything is instant. Everything looks fine. Come on. Anybody can pose? Right. Everybody who says a paid sponsorship, I know for a fact, ain't nobody paying them. They just put that on there. Look like, oh, they got somebody sponsoring. They got a partnership with it. And you're comparing yourself to people. Get a biblical worldview. Stop looking at the world. Stop looking at people who stirring up. The Bible talks about the spirit of jealousy. I didn't deal with that. There's a spirit of jealousy. Stop looking at people, looking at things that stirring up the spirit of jealousy, which I told y'all, jealousy is really perverted admiration. They're not nice enough to say, I really like your hair. So instead they say, that's a weave, ain't it? You know it's a weave, but it's a good one, ain't it? Versus that dog hair you got on.
Wow.
Jealousy. Jealousy keeps people from giving compliments. Jealousy makes people say stuff like, who don't even know the person not even looking at them, and or even thinking about them, look, she thinks she cute. No, you think she cute. That's jealousy. That's jealousy. And so many times, y'all, we're just focusing on the wrong thing, the wrong people, and we're hearing the wrong things and hearing the wrong people. Look at Acts 13. Certain things you're only going to hear. Certain things you're only going to get revelation of when we come together. Acts 13. The Bible tells us, well, put up verse 1. Help all the folks who are looking for the black people in the Bible. Put up verse 1 for me. Acts 13 and 1. It's the white man's religion. Black people. I've been telling y'all for years. We're all in the Bible. Okay. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers. As Barnabas and Simeon. That was called Niger. Now we believe by faith. That's how they pronounced it. Okay. They call Simeon Niger. Niger means black or dark. Y'all see that. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen. All those were nations in Africa and North Africa, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. I want you to just, okay, that's just a passing point. But go to verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So they have been fasting, but they're ministering to the Lord. When we're in praise and worship, we're ministering to the Lord. When Minister Sean comes and says, come on, give me your words. And we start saying, hallelujah, I love you, Lord Jesus. You're such an awesome God. We're ministering to the Lord. Keep that scripture up for me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, this Holy Ghost was not a voice from heaven. This Holy Ghost was speaking through one of the prophets or teachers who was present. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So now, because they were together, God gave them more specific instructions regarding the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul. Notice God called them, but man was involved in separating them. And they were separated as a result of a public meeting at the church, or when believers were got together. God spoke and said, separate them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Certain things were only going to happen when we are together. The Bible says that scriptures of private interpretation. Okay. I don't mean no harm, y'all. Anybody can prophesy sitting in the car on the phone. On Clubhouse. Okay. The Bible says when we're together, let them prophesy by two or three and let somebody more spiritually mature judge. These prophecies got to be judged. And so certain things only happen, and it's going to be stimulating. God's ordained for it to happen when we come together. Understanding, revelation, appointments, instruction, when we come together. Let me show you another one there. Look at Acts the fourth chapter, I believe. I often talk about this one here, but these are just some basics to help you understand what's the importance of us coming together. What's the importance of us come? Can I do the same thing at home? And especially since you're streaming, I'm getting the same word. Yeah, you're getting the same word, but certain things happen in an atmosphere.
Amen.
Peter and John, the man got healed. He went jumping and leaping. Verse 17. Of Acts 4 says, but that it spread no further, because they kept talking about Jesus, and that they realized a miracle had been done in the name of Jesus. Verse 17 of Acts 4 says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. He said, that's a no-brainer for us. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they may punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, this miracle. The man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Okay. And being let go, here we go, verse 23. They went to their own company. They got back together in the assembly. Now, this may not necessarily have been a church service. You follow me? But it's Christians coming together.
Right.
They went to their own company or companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your son, who by the mouth of thy servant David, you said, why does the heathen rage? People imagine vain things. Okay, go on down here. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where the people of God, where the Christians got together, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This is a refilling. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because many times we need a refilling, and when we come together, you're discouraged, but you can get a refilling. You're depressed, but you can get a refilling.
Amen.
You're fearful, come on, but you can get a refilling when we come together. Amen. And in these end times, the devil's trying to tell people you don't need to come together. Because it's just as good. It's not just as good. It may be the next best thing, but the best thing is for us to be in the assembly. Amen, if at all possible. Let's end with this. Maybe I have a little more time. We mentioned this earlier. Another thing that we will see in the church as a sign of the times, we kind of mentioned, is a falling away. Falling away. People who you thought was rock solid. People who you thought had their mind made up to run on and see what the end going to be in these last and evil days. Pray my strength in the Lord. People used to boldly sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. People who said, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. People said, take nothing from my journey. Backslidden,
yeah.
Falling away. I don't believe that anymore. People used to support ministry who were pillars of provision, planted in the house of God to support ministry in service, in finances, through prayer. Falling away. And the only thing that keeps me going and that I can still somewhat stay level-headed about it is that Jesus and the Word says it was going to happen.
Yeah. Because it's unsettling.
Sure.
You know, and it's sad. You know, you get grieved when you knew how these individuals walked. And some of them might even encourage other people.
I just wish I could get my time back. What'd you say?
Reclaim.
I want to reclaim my time. All this counseling I did with you in the office over the years. I want to reclaim some
you.
Of my money too.
God got
the
you.
Mortgages I done paid.
But, oh, now, God that, got that you.
But now you don't believe
God
this
got
no
you.
More.
God got you.
Give me my money back.
God got you. God got you.
We got this money because we believed it.
God got you.
Okay.
Feel better? You feel better?
Calm
got it
down.
Out. You got it out.
All right.
A little bit lighter.
All right, I'm sorry.
Let's continue now.
Let's continue.
You know, but you know, like you said, the Word says it, you know, put it right on out there. So prophetic, you know, we're living in prophetic times. But it could be very disheartening when these are individuals, like you said, you spend time with and you watch them grow or you watch them encourage other people, you know, and then you say the encourager slipped away. It's like, it's just mind boggling, you know? And so it's all the more we got to do what we know to do. Otherwise you get caught up in that. And you, before you know it, you find yourself heavy, you know, and kind of living kind of on a little bit subdued. Because the real deal is, you know, we're a body. And when, even though this person is still physically here, you realize their soul is at risk.
Yeah.
So you're grieving on some level. Sure. You know, and so you have to recognize, okay, I'm grieving. I'm concerned about this individual. If you can't coin it, it can make you think it's something wrong with you. And you're trying to figure out, well, why am I heavy? Why am I this? Well, the reason it's nothing but going on with my soul. I'm concerned about my brother.
Well, with my soul.
Hello. You're concerned about your brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah.
And so you need to ask God, you know, people, God, family. We need to ask God, help us this season. Help my heart not to be grieved. Help me to cast this care. Because there's individuals that you're chasing after, you're running after, you're concerned about. Some of us may be losing sleep over them. And if you look, they out there having a good time.
They in Mexico.
You see it all on
Facebook.
They
in Mexico. Cancun, Cozumel, Las Cabas.
Las Cabas.
Is that how you say it?
Las Cobas.
Las Cabas.
Cobos.
What is it?
Cabos.
Las Cabos.
Cabas.
That's a, whatever.
That's a more,
Mexico.
That's a more exotic place. Cabas.
We at the church.
We at the church.
They in Mexico.
We need to go to Cabas.
Look at 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 3. Now look what Paul says here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's saying, because Jesus is going to be coming, and as he gets close to coming, that's why he says, in light of that, being aware of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Things are going to come that's going to try to shake your faith and shake your mind. He said, I don't want you to be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. Because in this case, there were false prophets who were sending letters to the church saying the letter was from Paul. That's why he said, don't you be troubled by these deceiving spirits. Don't be shaken in mind, troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter that's supposed to be from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now look at this, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Book, Facebook, YouTube, tweet, whatever you're getting information from. Conversations, y'all. Just conversation I don't have. I mean, it's no sense to me, you know. Now, back when I was a teenager and in my college days, I love to debate. I should love to debate. We would stay up all night debating scriptures, debating with Muslims. I ain't got time for it. Okay? I realize everybody has a believing mechanism. You can choose to believe, you can choose not to believe. Okay, and at the end of the day, the scripture says in Acts the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if any be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So I would say people have a biblical right to be ignorant. If you choose to be ignorant, and so there's conversations I don't have. Okay, if you disagree that much with me, I suggest you find another church, another pastor where you agree. Y'all need to understand how I know whom I believe. Okay? And things that are not settled for me, I'll let you know it's not settled. Y'all know. I'll tell you stuff like, I can't prove it, but you can't prove me wrong. Okay? But certain things I'm settled about. And I'm going to preach it and I'm going to teach it. And I'm not going to let people sit up here and just try to contaminate people because you got some strange revelation. And that's why Paul says, he said, don't let your mind be shaken. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor as a letter by us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. In theological terms, this is called the great apostasy. A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y, apostasy. It means a falling away of people who you thought were rock solid, of people you thought things were settled. They're falling away. I don't believe that anymore. I don't go to church anymore. And I'm not just talking because they stream it. I don't, that's not what I do anymore. Okay? They got black Jesus now. So our Jesus ain't good enough. Okay? I don't care what color he is, you got to repent of your sins and confess him as your Lord and Savior. And be born again. Period. And the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, around verse 16, it says, henceforth, we don't judge any, we don't know Jesus by the flesh. What's all this flesh stuff? We don't even, he said, we shouldn't even be just judging each other by the flesh. Our bond should be a spiritual bond, not just based upon what people look like. Physical attributes. He said, we don't judge any man by the flesh. He said, and we don't know Jesus by the flesh. Don't let people get you caught up in a flesh Jesus. He's a resurrected body. Amen. Are y'all with me here?
We are living in a time where scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. Things are happening, and we need to know that Jesus is soon to return. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss what we as believers need to know in these times. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Signs of the Times. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.